Today on Real Radio.
And afterward, Joshua struck. Now, Joshua walked over to the kings, the five of them, and he struck them down. He hung them on five trees.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, chapter 10 tells us of the battle between Joshua's men of valor, emerging victorious and conquering the lands ruled by five kings. And in the second part of the chapter, starting with verse number 22, we learn what Joshua did with these rulers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study called Successful Living in a Defeated World.
Did you know your Bible says that wars that take place in geographical, political regions are all stemming from spiritual issues and problems? Did you know that? Did you know the Bible teaches us that there are literal demons and angels that have been given jurisdiction over certain political places on the globe? Isn't that wild? That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there's a prince of Persia, for one thing. And there's the prince of Israel. Do you know who the prince of Israel is? Michael the archangel. But there are principalities and powers that Paul talks about, dominions who rule and reign over certain political and geographical borders. That seems strange to our thinking. That you mean in the cities of Chino Hills and Chino and Pomona and Norco, there could be invisible spiritual powers? The Bible says absolutely yes. Can you imagine the powers that must invisibly traffic around the areas of Moscow and Washington, D.C.? What about the powers that are in invisible existence over Iran and Iraq and in Jerusalem? It's amazing to think. There are spiritual entities that manifest their agenda in the political schemes of this world. So it's not a far stretch to take this out to that these five kings represent the flesh and that they need to be removed. And that applies to your life and mine this morning. Is there something in my life that needs to be removed? The Holy Spirit is saying, this has got to go. Is it happening in your life where the Holy Spirit is saying, let's deal with this thing? Well, first of all, realize this and be encouraged. In verses 22 to 24, the fact of the matter is God has arrested our enemies. He's put them in a cave, so to speak. The mouth of that cave is sealed up. The Bible says that sin shall no longer have dominion over us who are in Christ Jesus. That we are now to walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. That's good news. That's exciting. So the cave is sealed up. Joshua says, open up the cave and bring them out. Why? Judgment day has come. Judgment day has come for these representing the flesh. And it's beautiful. I say beautiful because we're on the side of victory. It's terrible for those pagan kings. But Joshua says, bring out all of the soldiers of Israel and bring the captains over here. So the leaders of each of the divisions come over and Joshua says, put your feet on their neck. Why did he do that? Is he being a bad guy? Is he being mean? This was and is a custom that is practiced there to this day. To stand with your foot on the neck of your enemy. It's an Oriental, it's a Middle East thing. It speaks of this. Number one, the battle has been won. The victory is ours. The king is defeated. And it is the ultimate thing in the battle itself. The king has been taken. So now, these men are standing there. Joshua is not standing on any of the men's necks. He's orchestrating it all. You might say, this is terrible. No, this is awesome. This is awesome stuff. If you view it as God would have us to view it. And again, just to help you out a little bit. These kings are so horribly wicked. In that culture, through archaeological discovery and historical writings, we know that these kings practiced every sort of bizarre sexual activity. I say the king, their country, their states. Very, very wicked. Very murderous. Very bloodthirsty. Diabolical. They worshipped everything but the true and living God. Children were burned to death in these molten idols. When a husband and a wife got pregnant, the first child born to that home was dedicated to their gods. Can you imagine? Your firstborn will forever be dedicated to the gods of their paganism. How would that make you feel? Your firstborn given to the idols of this world. Or your son prostituted in a male prostitutional ring. Your firstborn dedicated to pagan gods. What does that do to you? I tell you, if you've got a half a brain as a parent, you want to protect your children at all costs. Sometimes, I mean, how many of you have teenagers? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you have real young kids? Raise your hand. For all of us in here, man, if your kid is even near danger, it just drives you batty, doesn't it? My oldest daughter now has got her license. So now it's like, in fact, last night they were going to the church formal night. And they're all dressed up. All of a sudden, I didn't realize that I was living with two teenage girls that looked so pretty. And they get in the car. Now, it was fine the other day when they went to go get milk. That was okay. But now they look like they do in the car. So what am I doing? I'm out there. I'm out on the driveway at the car. Roll down your window. Roll down the window. Roll down the window. What? Take the car phone. Take the car phone. Oh, all right. And I honestly, it's 911. Remember, it's 911. The car is still backing out of the driveway. I'm walking. Put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. And they leave. They drive up. It's like, we turned and walked back in the house. Why? Why am I like that? Why are you like that? Because the world's out there. Now, you might say, well, I only have a son. Well, you got one son to worry about. I got two daughters. I've got every son in the universe to worry about. Think of that next time. It doesn't matter. You might say, well, I only have one daughter. You still have every guy in the county to worry about. It's very, very scary. Why? Because there's a world out there against Christ, against you, against your child. And I don't know about you, but if you want to get me out of control, mess with my kid, I'm sorry. God help you, because I know he's going to be helping me. It's love. The Bible, the world, even the non-Christian knows that evil must be judged. They know it down deep inside. And God judges evil. And we look at this, and it's a judgment that's coming. Look with me in verses 25. In verses 25 to 28, successful winning in a defeated world is this, that the Lord wants us to exercise, listen, the Lord wants us to exercise his authority. I would underline his in your note-taking. The Lord wants us to exercise his authority. And I get a little nervous when I turn on so-called Christian TV. And I hear somebody saying, I want you to take authority over the devil. You just grab him by the horns and pull him down. Where does it say that at? Listen, when Michael, the archangel, do you know what archangel means? It means bad boy. Don't mess with him. Every time you find Michael, the archangel, in the Bible, he's beating somebody up. He's a tough guy. And the Bible says that when Michael confronted Satan, this is a weird passage of scripture, when Michael confronted Satan, as Satan and him fought over the body of Moses, who was now dead. That's weird. Why would Satan want a dead body? It says there that Michael did not bring a railing accusation against Satan, but said to him, "The Lord rebukes you, Satan." Satan may be defeated, but the Lord is the one that does the whipping. And what are we to do? We are to do what any smart kid does. When a big bully comes to town, that little kid, all he needs to say is, "I'm going to call my dad. I'm going to get my dad." You see, the fact of the matter is, the authority that God has given us, it's His authority. It's awesome. I believe personally it is seen by those and understood by those who do God's service. Then the more you're involved, the more you'll see God's mighty hand. The more you're out on the edge, the more you'll see His power. But it's His authority that He mantles over His children. Isn't that exciting to know? Have you ever experienced that? I am not going to get into details, but I will tell you this, and God is my judge. I was a Christian for a little over a year, and I happened to come in contact. God had ordained this for what reason? I'm not quite sure to this day. But a particular person, not a stranger by any means, but this person just verbally came after me and said, hey, I need to talk to you. And it was like, fine, okay, whatever. And it was in the darkness of night, and it was at my house. Literally in front of me, this person began to change their appearance. Now, I hadn't been drinking anything. I'd been a Christian. I was normal. I watched their eyes in their eyes turn jet black like marble. And I knew that something was very strange here. And this guy began to speak in a voice that was unbelievable. It sounded like it was coming like 50 feet away from a pipe. That's all I can tell you. It was the most bizarre thing. And I'm a brand new Christian. And he is going off on Jesus Christ like you can't believe. I don't know why he's picking on me. I'm not Jesus. But this was going like this. It was going. And this guy steps back and he flies at me, just comes running and flies at me. And about 2.5 feet from me, hit an invisible wall and fell flat on his back, almost knocked him out. And I sat there and I looked and I said to myself, Christianity is awesome. I know this, God is real. And the kingdom of darkness is real. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I got to see that. Now, the only thing that comes out of that I can immediately enjoy is that my faith grew leaps and bounds in that moment. It was tremendous. It's a real world, both visible and invisible. And God is asking us to exercise His authority. Well, like how? Like this. When you tell people about Jesus Christ, think about this. When you tell people about Jesus Christ, they don't know Christ yet. They're lost in this world. Think about Satan wearing a beautiful crown, and every little gem, every little stone is named Mark and Kathy and Julie and Betty and Freddie and whatever. And God's desire is to pluck that stone from that satanic crown and put it in His own, put it in Christ's crown, so to speak. And if you go to do that, like somebody did to you one day in your life, and you've been snatched from the glories of the enemy, God will seal you in His power. You'll go forward in His authority, not your own. You'll be humble. You'll be rather cautious, but in His power nonetheless. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit for the moment. Jesus says, don't take a thought for what you're going to speak in that hour. I'll speak through you. Go out on the edge and go out where those have been bound by Christ. Go there and see what happens. And God will be there in power. Guaranteed. It's His authority. Lord, You build Your church. Lord, You teach Your people. Lord, You watch over this body that is Yours. I'm constantly reminding Him that You belong to Him. I didn't die for you. He did. I don't own you. He does. I can point you to the Bible. He tells you what to do, not me. Jesus said again, my sheep hear my voice, and what? They follow me. So we have his authority. Jesus said to his disciples before he sent them out, it's recorded in Mark's Gospel chapter 16 and Luke chapter 10. He says, go, you preach this gospel. And he said, as you go preaching the gospel, you'll tread upon serpents. Scorpions won't hurt you. His authority is incredible. Angels bow in his presence and demons flee. And he's given that to us. It's amazing. It's awesome. And so he says in verse 25, then Joshua said to them, don't be afraid. I love that. I love that. It happens in this book all the time. Why? Because people get afraid. I get afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why do you say that? Because we get dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you'll fight. It's awesome. And afterward, Joshua struck. Now, Joshua walked over to the kings, the five of them, and he struck them down. He hung them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at that time, at the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded that they be taken down from the trees and cast back into the cave from whence they were hidden, and laid large stones against the mouth of the cave, which remains there until this day. On that day, verse 28, Joshua took Makkedah and struck it and its king by the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. And he let none of them remain. He also did to the king of Makkedah as he had done to the king of Jericho. You're going to hear that a few times. Real quickly, Joshua says, be strong, be of good courage, but he also says, do not be afraid and don't be dismayed. What he is saying is, don't be fearful and timid. Guess what? Every one of us right now, if you're awake or not in this message, if you can hear me loud and clear or not, every one of us are ripped off by this, by these two things, fear and being intimidated or being timid because we might blunder something. You and I, all of us are this way. We're all this way. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a very good evangelist. And he's fairly local. Before service, I had a chance to see him before a crusade. And it was so encouraging to see how God uses earthen vessels to do his work. Because before that crusade, fingernails were being bitten to the quick. I mean, nervous. Just, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. See, you see people, you see Charles Stanley stand up and do a message on TV, and you think, what an, look at him. He could talk to a billion people, wouldn't even bother him. What you don't see is Charles Stanley's gut-wrenching turmoil before the service begins. Why? Because God will see to it that his people know that he's doing a glorious work through them, but they're but dust nonetheless. You understand that? If you don't, you need to step out in ministry and get used by the Lord. It's wonderful as God uses you, you decrease and he increases. And once you let him do that in your life, you're going to love being decreased. I get a little nervous when somebody says, yeah, I'll take that. I'll do it. Yeah, let me speak to the masses. Ooh. See, the world will view that as ambition and guts and let him go. It's dangerous. Let the Lord do it. In verses 29 to 39, we see here that the Lord has called us to battle, which is no stranger by now in this book. Verse 29 says, then Joshua, I'm going to ask you to circle this. This is, we have to take this large chunk because watch how this flows. Then Joshua passed, circle that, from Makkedah and all Israel, you ought to circle that, to Libna, and they fought. You should circle they fought. So it's Joshua passed, all of Israel's with him, and they fought. Verse 30, and the Lord delivered them. You ought to underline that. Because that's a pattern from here on out in the rest of the book. This is the way Christians are successful in this life right now. It's like this. Keep moving on with God. Joshua passed. He's moving on. Secondly, all that were in fellowship with him was Israel. All that's in fellowship with you is your church body. I want to come back to that because there's something that concerns me much about that. They all fought. They were brought together in unity. They had a reason. And the Lord delivered the enemies into their hands. All of that's in verses 29 and 30. And I got news for you. It's repeated all the way down to verse 39. When the scripture says that all of Israel was with them, you and I must be able to say today, yeah, I'm growing in Christ. You have to be able to say this. I'm growing in Christ. If you're not, you're backsliding. Well, I'm not doing any drugs. If you're not growing onward, you're backsliding. Well, I'm not running around with any guys or girls. If you're not advancing, you're backsliding. I'm just kind of taking a break. You're backsliding. Satan doesn't have any days off. He's not going to give you one either. It's okay to have a physical rest, but spiritually we're always advancing. But listen to this. All Israel was with him. That is with Joshua.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called Successful Living in a Defeated World. It's a look at the second half of Joshua chapter 10, which tells us what Joshua did after defeating five kings and their armies while taking possession of the Promised Land. Successful Living in a Defeated World is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this historical book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack's right here in the studio with me, and Pastor Jack, there's an upcoming conference that I'd like for you to tell all folks about.
We are going to be having a great conference, David, and it's going to be entitled Worldview Conference, and the Worldview Conference is going to be a great, honestly, hard-hitting conference to really equip those in our culture that have frankly been pretty much swayed and molded and shaped by our secular, godless society.
Polluted, if you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The words together, worldview,
right,
are being used a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
You know, worldview is something that each and every one of us have. Maybe someone's listening right now and they're saying worldview, well, that's for somebody else.
Okay.
No, every human being has a worldview. It's that lens by which we view the world around us. Every one of us has a worldview.
Who's going to be there at the conference?
We have some great speakers. We have four speakers coming. Eric Hoven, which is a tremendous brother, very articulate, very bright on creation versus evolution.
Oh, great.
Eric's going to be bringing some great truth to us. And then one of our favorites here in the Southern California area, Charlie Campbell. Charlie Campbell is a very gifted, on-campus, great ability to meet the need of the young person who's questioning God. Charlie Campbell is a wonderful apologist and has a great way of bringing the truth and challenging the mind. So we're going to be having him. And then many of our listeners may know William Federer.
The historian.
Right? The historian. Yeah. He's an expert on American history and a very gifted communicator. He has a daily program that is seen on DirecTV and other channels as well. And then one of my favorites, Johnny Moore. Johnny Moore is a great brother. He is the pastor on campus at Liberty University.
Okay.
And Johnny's a great guy, great speaker, and he's going to be giving great arguments as to how and why we should defend what we believe as Christians in the world in which we live in. It's going to be a great, great talk.
And when are we doing it?
We're going to be doing it on Friday, August 17th, and Saturday, August 18th.
Okay.
And it's going to be hosted right here in Southern California, and Davey, quite frankly, right here at the church.
All right.
We've got a venue big enough to handle it. It's going to be a great time.
And it's always real expensive to get in here to Calvary Chapel, Chino
Very,
Hills.
Very expensive. Jesus paid the price, which makes it
free admission.
Yes, free admission is what we're getting to.
All right. If you'd like some more info on this, or if you'd like to register, just go to worldview2012.org. That's worldview2012.org. And Alexander Hamilton said it best when he said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.